Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Don't even think about it.
Don't even think about it.
You better think twice.
You better think twice, Jacqueline.
Jacqueline Larita.
Don't even think about it, Jack.
Don't you, do it, Jack.
You walk out right where you came in. Let the wind blow you back.
One look at those wide eyes and I knew you were a liar and a fraud.
One look at those doe eyes and I just knew you were up to no good.
You get out.
You get out now and let the wind take you back to Nevada where you whence you came.
Get out and drive that Range Rover far away from here.
You drive back to Vegas, back to the Strip, back to Sin City where you belong, Damon.
Back to the penny slots you go.
Back to the penny slots. Back to the liquor and the carpets and the smoke-wrought seats. All of it and the cigarette smoke and the ash.
And the ringing in your ears. And the ringing in your ears.
You don't even know what time it is because there's no clocks there. You get back. Do you remember in, there was a, was it Celebrity Apprentice or something? Joan Rivers was on some competition show and she left in a rage with her daughter and started, she was yelling at someone on the show and she was like, none of you people have last names. That was like her big.
I think that was Celebrity Apprentice.
And she was like, none of you even have last names.
Love.
And I thought that was such a good burn.
That is a good burn. I miss Joan Rivers.
I do too. Can she you imagine her
so
in this era?
Great. God, she would have been canceled like 40
oh,
times.
Fucking for sure.
It's a good thing she died when she did because people would have killed her.
I know. But you can't like she's
her soul like knew it was time to go before she could really like experience the dregs of cancel culture.
God, what would she have to say about it?
It would have been amazing.
I mean, she said some truly heinous things.
Yeah, she's
especially
been
about like the Obamas and like she said some really bad stuff. But yeah. she was great.
Mm-hmm.
She
a
was
real gem.
I was. Did you watch her documentary on Netflix?
Yeah, I think I did but a long time ago.
Yeah, it was like
out.
The year. I think it was,
I need to rewatch it. Because I've been really missing Joan, and I keep watching Mrs. Maisel, like, waiting for her to get
up.
Into, like, a place of Joan, but it's like, she doesn't really get there.
No one's Joan.
No.
No one will ever be Joan. But it was just, that documentary was great. You should watch, if anyone hasn't watched it yet, I think it's just, like, Joan, but it's, like, her.
She, like, takes her little grandson shopping.
Yeah, but she, it's just, it's following her, she still was doing. God love her. She was still doing a stand-up sets. She was, like, testing material out. Like, well into her like 80s.
Touring. Making an act.
And like going to little shows in like Connecticut, like, you know, suburban places, and like still doing it. And there was one, she didn't get booked for something or something bad happened and she was pissed and she was storming out. And her, she had like a gay kind of stalker, like fan who named, what was his name? Gregory. And he was waiting for her outside of some venue and she's storming out and he was like, Joan, you're the greatest. And she went, damn right, Gregory. And then she turns to the camera and she goes, at least I got Gregory.
God love him.
Oh, she was at a show and she got booed and like no one was laughing and she was pissed and she was like, this crowd, they don't know what they're doing. Like they were so fucked up and like these young people. And then Gregory's outside. I loved it, Joan. Damn right. And then she goes, at least I got Gregory.
Yeah.
It was just like, God, she was
one of a kind.
And she wrote all her own jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I think she probably had help at the end, but I don't think, but maybe she, I don't think she did. She wrote them all in little note cards.
On her little note cards. She was a real one.
I loved when she had people come, that show where people were in bed with her.
Oh, yeah.
Like Billy Eichner went on.
Mm-hmm.
She was so funny.
She was funny. I wish that she had her own like late night show.
She did.
Or that was like longer than
yeah,
however long that lasted.
She was just, what, there's some like legendary beef between her and Johnny Carson.
Mm-hmm.
And then she took over a slot and then he was mad that she did.
And that is that when like Jay Leno got, he get Johnny Carson's job?
Maybe. But she had her own show and her husband was producing it. And I think Johnny Carson, because he discovered her.
Yeah.
And I think he was like, felt insulted that she was going to go off on her own because she was a writer on his show.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was like the head writer or something, or like one of the main writers. But can you imagine being
in her position, like having to choosing that kind of career where I'm sure people were just like shitty to you all the time.
Yeah. And like a whole room of men
mm-hmm.
writing jokes and you're probably funnier than all of them.
Yeah.
And they were all probably like pissed. Remember her made for TV? Sorry, I'm Carrie.
I'm Laura.
this is Sexy Unique Podcast. Merry Xmas, soon to be. Merry Happy Hanukkah, soon to be.
Yeah, happy.
Whatever week you celebrate.
Christmas, Hanukkah.
Yule. Pagan.
Higi. Kwanzaa.
Whatever you celebrate.
All of it.
I hope you have a good week. I'm really excited to be off from work for
Boxing
a week.
Boxing Day.
We're talking about Joan Rivers. She was in a made for TV movie about her and Melissa's like tragic life and they played themselves.
That's iconic.
Because her husband killed himself.
Mm-hmm. After she died, my mom sent me Melissa's memoir about their relationship.
Yeah.
I still haven't read it, but
their show was great. Their reality show.
And also her doing the red carpets at all the award shows was everything.
Phenomenal.
I grew up like watching her.
The Fashion Police?
Their commentary. But I think it was pre-Fashion Police. It was like Joan and Melissa.
Oh, yeah. Back
and they would like...
Old school.
Way old school.
Yeah.
And like Joan would just like shit on everyone.
And like troll Melissa. And she'd be like, Mom.
And then Melissa would kind of be like the nice one who like asked nice questions. And then Joan would be like, she looks like shit.
But she was
amazing.
She was mostly right.
She was pretty much 90% right.
She had great taste.
Yeah. God love her. I love her like gilded apartment.
Yes. I was just going to say that she converted like a ballroom into her palatial. And she was so fucking rich
mm-hmm.
from her QVC shit.
Yeah.
Like hundreds of millions of dollars. She was amazing. I was so sad when she died. I mean, I'm sure
it was devastating.
I watched Fashion Police. Now it's, is it even on anymore?
I don't think so.
Who was on? Oh, Kelly Osbourne was on it. Wasn't there some like feud between her and.
Oh, yeah. Cause she said like. Was it her that said Zendaya is like.
Oh, I'm not. I thought there was something else. Kelly Osbourne, was she pissed at Juliana for saying that patchouli comment about Zendaya?
Was that Juliana that said that?
I think so. That's what it was.
That's what it was.
That was fucked up. But Kelly Osbourne's like friends with her. I don't know.
I don't know. I was like really bored with all of it after Joan was gone.
I know.
That she was the only reason to like watch that kind of stuff. No one else is like as funny mean as she is.
The queen of mean.
The queen, the truest queen of mean.
But she always, but the best part with her was she was the first one to troll herself.
Yeah.
She would tear herself down.
Mm-hmm.
She would talk about how crazy she looked. Like she did not care. And I loved when she would crack herself up. And her comments were always, some of them were truly horrible, like truly heinous. But she was always pretty much on point. And she was an LGBT crusader.
Yeah.
I just love when she didn't like certain people, like a young actress.
She had a chip on her shoulder about like a young actress.
I think she looks like a cheap, didn't she call people like whores all the time? She did.
Yeah.
Man. It was Juliana, Joan, Brad, Goreski.
And Kelly.
And Kelly. I saw Kelly Osbourne one time.
What a sight.
In Anderson Cooper's gay bar in Williamsburg. What was it called? Oh my God, Love Gun. It was like...
Did they go there on Gallery Girls?
No. It was down the street from Metropolitan, which is like the staple gay bar in Williamsburg, but... Anderson Cooper and his partner Ben owned it, and I remember one night Fergie and Kelly Osbourne came in, and there was like a film crew with them, and they were like woo, like place of woo, like woo woo woo. And
I was two girls. I was in a place of Nunca with the film crew.
I was like probably
what
just
year
like,
was this like 2011?
No, like 2014.
Okay.
But I think I was probably rolling or something, and they were like, woo!
Honestly, like, Fergie entering a room would put me into a place of Nunca.
Also, Kelly Ripa walked in at one point, and she went, woo! And, like, screamed, and she came, and I left.
I love her.
She ran into the room of gays and went, ah! Ran screaming up to Anderson. Did I tell you this? And then I saw Andy Cohen.
No, you haven't told me this. Truly, like... The gayest of the gay journey.
Well, it was like right down the street.
They're
from
all in a place of woo together with each other.
That whole cabal is in a place of woo.
I'm in a place of woo with them, except...
They don't know that I'm in a place of woo about them, but I'm in a place of woo about them.
Yeah, I'm in a total place of woo about them. I mean, even Fergie, like, I'm more of in a place of woo now than I have been in the past.
Love Ferg. I saw Fergie in Atlantic City.
Like in concert?
Yeah. My friends and I took a tour bus down or party bus down. She was doing back somersaults.
Whoa. Was this recent?
No, it was 2007.
Oh, okay, I was going to say. If so,
God, no,
proud
she was
of her
amazing.
Being so limber.
But
yeah, I just like, I don't know. I've been like, about Fergie for a long time.
I felt bad for her with that.
With her peeing on Star, herself stuff?
Well, no, her Star Spangled Banner. Oh, yeah.
Love her. Again. Where I was like, truly, whoa. I can't with Fergie. And then she pulled that shit, which I think we still don't. Talking about that enough.
I know.
That was a truly groundbreaking moment where, like, I think, like, tore open an energetic vortex with that performance.
It was a true time-space continuum. It was like the god particle.
We all need to revisit that because that was...
It was like the NBA Finals 2 years ago. She sang the Star Spangled Banner and did a...
Everyone knows.
Well, some people might. And if you haven't, then I don't know what the fuck you've been doing with your life.
Yeah, I've been forever changed by her rendition. And even it goes and you can see like players laughing at her. And like Jimmy Kimmel, I think, is there. And he's like, what is going on? It truly is like a what is happening.
And then her ex-husband had to go like do damage control for her.
What did he say?
He like was on some talk shows like promoting something. And he had to be like, she was really upset. You know, she really was just trying something different. And he was like defending her. He's like, I think she's the best singer in the world, like all this stuff. It's like her
she
what went through her mind that night. We need to do an entire episode, like, just
breaking
like
that down,
like an oral history of
the lead up to that. I need like the documentary.
If anyone out there was involved in that or knows someone that was like,
yeah,
I just want to. I love Fergie. I just want to know what she was thinking.
We all need to revisit and get to the bottom of like what that was, because she truly pulled like
it was a stunt.
It was a stunt that then she never spoke of again, and then just relied on all of us to forget about it, which
we
did.
We
and but now here we are, and every once in a while I'm reminded of it, and I'm still wowed that that even happened in the first place.
I just have to revisit it for a sec.
Please do. This is what I needed tonight specifically.
Wow, I can't believe we haven't talked about it. It has 131,000 dislikes.
How many views does it have?
14 million. It should have like
800 million views.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming?
She's like fully.
I can't.
She's bright stars summoning a demon.
Through the perilous
LeBron, because like,
here's
the rapper.
Here's when it goes off.
I can't.
I knew. No, we have to finish it. You can't just cut it off because we're about to have the.
I'm having like.
Came through
that night that
a flag star spangled banner yet way.
Than I thought. In my mind just now, I was like, oh, she just did this like weirdly jazzy, but it was really
did
bad. She hear herself and think like, I'm doing well?
She must have. I think it's like one of those things where you're trying it and then you realize quickly that it's not going well, but you can't be in a place of jazz and then segue into just like normality.
Wait, yeah.
You have to just commit to being in a place of jazz for the whole song.
She should have just sang it normal. She probably would have sounded good. Like,
yeah. There was no reason for her to do that.
What was that look?
I thought I saw like a candle, candle flame like flickering, it's and Fergie. I thought it had like lit on fire.
Wow, that was really bad.
That was stunning. Psychotic of her.
That was it. She committed to it. It was like,
brave.
Oh,
she sounds like Amy Sedaris in Strangers with Candy.
She
doing
does.
That performance.
Yeah, it was,
and everyone was like, go off, queen. Like, I guess do that performance.
Everyone there. It was like they were a captive audience.
Well, everyone was like, what is happening? It sounds like, it does sound like space and time are being warped and suddenly you're getting sucked into another dimension.
Did she know something that we didn't?
Yeah.
She prevented
of us getting in, like, sucked into a black hole. They were like, Fergie, you have to make these sorts of frequencies in order. They were like the only person that can make these sorts of frequencies to, like, fight the black hole sucking Earth in.
It's gonna cost you your career, your reputation.
You're literally humiliated for the rest of your life, and 2 years from now, like, randoms on a podcast will wallet it, and like no one. Everyone will forget, but no one will ever truly forget.
or forgive
you for this, but it will save the entire planet.
Anytime anyone talks to you, they're in the back of their head, no matter how good the combo or how much fun they're having with you, there's going to be something in their head that says, oh my
God. Right,
yay. Like, that part really threw me for a loop. The
It's really wild. I feel like it was like NASA was in her ear, mm-hmm. being like, ramp it up, bring it down. And like, they were like, it was a fine, delicate dance.
She was following, they were doing a pitch and she had to follow it, like, mm-hmm. on like a dial, and she had to follow it like it was in her ear.
Yeah.
And after, God, what do you think she did after that happened?
What do you do after you completely botch our nation's anthem?
I mean, didn't everyone forget the lyrics once?
Laughs at you. Forgetting the lyrics isn't as bad as, like,
Christina can just belt it and, like, be fine.
Yeah, and, like, who really knows the lyrics?
I know.
You know what I mean?
I don't. I mean, I could probably sing it right now.
I could definitely sing it. But, like, under, you can just, like, riff on it, too, and, like, still get the emotion. And if your pitch is good, then it's, like, fine.
Oh, say, can you see
by the dawn's early light
what so proudly we hail as our twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous night o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Or say, does that star-spangled banner radiant wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Okay, we got it.
We totally did it.
Yeah. And if anyone
wants to hire us to sing, mm-hmm. the Star Spangled Banner.
Little League games.
Major League Baseball games.
Gymnastics
events.
Diving competitions.
Yeah. Or just like at the dog park.
Mm-hmm.
Randomly.
Call us.
Yeah.
Seek us out. Thanks to the team.
I think that was better, honestly, yeah, than that was Fergie's.
Even my, there was like,
a couple. There were a couple moments where I thought harmony. For myself, like, ooh, but then I remembered how bad Fergie's was, and I was like, it's chill.
When I tried to harmonize and I couldn't, that was...
I was really impressed with, like, the first few bars of your harmony, and then you hit a place of disharmony that I was thrown by, but I loved. It was adventurous.
That caused a rip in time space a little bit. bit of one.
And I'm just trying something new.
I'm really sorry.
It's okay. Hey, no apologies, Ness.
But
it's
you felt
low
it.
Stakes,
you,
yeah.
When I hit it, I think I could sense that you were like,
I did. It threw me.
You went, In your head, I could hear your thoughts at the moment going, ooh.
You know what's also wild is I'll bet that a lot of listeners felt really uncomfortable listening to us sing the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah.
Because singing is a really vulnerable thing to do.
Probably more uncomfortable than Fergie.
Okay. Who made you feel more uncomfortable?
I would probably venture us. But you know what? But that's the Star Spangled Banner for you.
Yeah. It's not a song for everyone.
Do you put your hand over your heart when you hear it?
No, I don't.
I do.
I don't feel moved to. Sometimes I do out of like shame that I'm the only one that's not doing it. Cause I literally will be at when my dad took me to the OU Texas weekend game.
You had to.
Well, I was standing there and I was just like, okay, like this thing again. And then I looked around and I was like, oh yeah, like you're supposed to put your hand over your heart. And then I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. But then the longer it went by, I was just like, fuck, I have to like fucking do it. So I did. But I didn't want, like, I don't think that you should have to do that.
Yeah. I take that back. I
like the song. I think as a song,
song
it's
is beautiful.
A great song.
If I'm with like, yeah, if I'm at like a, when I am, which is never, yeah. At, like a pro thing, I
when
will.
When I find myself, when I suddenly come to and I realize I'm at like a game.
But I usually just.
I stand there and, like, appreciate it.
Yeah. I just, like, keep my hands to my side. Also, yeah, I think it's a little fascist if you're made to feel like you have to.
Yeah.
But you can appreciate it without, like, praising the founding fathers.
I'd rather just, like, everyone sing it as a group than, yeah. Like, have to put my hand over my heart.
Is this problematic?
I don't think so. Okay, like... Sorry to the troops if you're feeling sad about what we just said.
Yeah.
But we literally just sang the Star Spangled Banner, so we can do whatever we want.
I feel very vulnerable. More vulnerable than singing the Star Spangled Banner is me saying that, like, I don't always put my hand on my heart.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I truly respect the troops, and I respect the Star Spangled Banner, respect my autonomy to just put my hands wherever the fuck I want.
I caught myself in a lie. Because I said I always put it on, and then I realized that's not true.
And then you were fraudulent.
You
committed fraud.
I have it on and I have it off.
Yeah,
I do it sometimes. If I'm feeling it, I'll put it on my heart, but other times I'm not. And I had to come clean and admit that I got caught up in a lie of patriotism.
Yeah, you. I think you. Out of the two of us, you're definitely the more patriotic.
No,
you are.
I am.
And I love that about you.
I like
America.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for like pomp and circumstance. Mm-hmm. And if I'm hearing someone sing that, I get like, oh, like, love that. Like, Whitney's rendition at the Super Bowl in like 1991. Amazing.
Yeah. Like a beautiful moving rendition of the Star Spangled Banner is really something to behold.
I'm not proud of our country right now.
No, I think that.
I mean, actually, well, I'm proud right now because we just voted to impeach Donald Trump.
That's American.
That's great. So right now I'm proud. But the last few years I have not felt.
It's been really hard to get in a place of like Star Spangled
A place
Banner.
Of woo.
Yeah, a place of woo.
About America.
Yeah.
But we're coming back.
I know. This was a big comeback. This was actually the most patriotic thing I've ever done.
Sing
the Star Spangled Banner on a podcast, on my own podcast about.
Did I force you into that?
No, I willingly did it because I do really like that song. And then I like imagine what was going on. And
I do too.
And then it's just like, oh my God.
Yeah,
it's a really well written song. It crescendos, it doesn't have like.
I don't know what ramparts are.
Yeah.
I don't.
All I know is like Rampart Boulevard. That's like a street in LA.
I imagine like bombs flying.
And then like the flag is there. Still waving.
Or the
land of the free.
Speaking of Land of the Free,
Jersey.
Well, one thing I wanted to talk about.
What? Oh, I have something to talk about too.
You go first.
I watched
because I forgot what I wanted to talk about. Oh my god!
I watched Danny Provenzano's movie.
With Chrissy.
Yeah, with friend of the pod Chrissy Milazzo, and it did not disappoint.
Was it amazing?
It's a true piece of Jersey art.
Was it good?
The bones were there. I saw what he was trying to do, but then it was also obviously incredibly horrible. But like, it was his homage to like Martin Scorsese gangster movies.
Love that.
Like there were like long takes of him and like he's Axe in the movie too. He's like one of the main characters.
Wow.
And he actually is an incredible actor. And Chrissy and I both found ourselves, and her boyfriend who is with us, like all found ourselves being like, wait, like why wasn't he ever an actor?
He's good.
He's really good. And like he totally could have been on Sopranos. Like he was like around during that time. And then we were kind of like thinking backwards in history, and we realized that he was in jail for most of the Sopranos. I think the first part of the Sopranos, he spent trying to make this movie of his own. And then he immediately went to jail for like 10 years afterwards. So he really missed out on the Sopranos boat. But I feel like he really could have killed it.
When did this movie come out?
I want to say, I actually have no idea. I feel like it was like 2003.
Wow. Damn.
So it's old. Yeah.
Well,
he's a filmmaker.
I have to watch.
You have to watch. And then there's a whole YouTube channel that we found of his where he produced a short documentary called like The Reeducation of Danny Provenzano. And it's all about like him trying to like reacclimate, but also like not get sent to jail. But he's like about to get like fully incarcerated.
Yeah, he's like going back to jail.
And he's talking about how he's like so glad his wife is like standing by him. And like then he films with his kids kind of, and like his kids, he hasn't told them that he's going to jail. And he's like, where do you tell your classmates that daddy is when they ask? And they were like, that he's going to work in the army. And so like it was a real situation.
Wait, he was married?
He was married to like this like hot blonde with big jugs.
During the age of Danielle?
Maybe after? I don't know.
Damn.
But like if I was his wife, I would not be happy with his carousing with one Danielle Staub.
No way. Well, I have Jersey news.
What's that?
Well, I wanted to talk about the Jersey news of the moment.
Fuck, yeah. So,
Tree and Juicy Joe split up.
Yeah, they filed for a separation.
Mm-hmm. After 20 years.
After 20 years.
I mean, we'll see if it's...
If it leads to divorce. I mean, it probably will.
Yeah.
But...
He's not coming back.
He can't ever come back, right?
No.
Did it get ruled against him that he can never come back?
I think they said it's not looking good.
Can he not even come back to just like
I don't
visit?
Know. I think he might have to just stay in Italy or like live in Europe. I don't know what's going to happen.
That sucks for him.
I know.
That sucks for their whole family.
I know. But I think Teresa just financially probably has to.
If they were going to stay married but like separate, they're fine. I mean, like he probably can't have like American bank accounts.
No, and she's making a ton of money now, so like she needs to make sure.
Yeah, so like I think in order to start getting like separate bank accounts after you've been married for a long time, you have to file for like a separation of some sort.
Also, she's smart to not let any of her money go to his hands.
Yeah, no.
Because clearly he let her down before her, so like...
that money going right to Italy.
She's probably...
Where
has
he's closer to the motherland and, like, I'm sure more connected to, like, a life of crime there than he is in the U.S.
Yeah, well, they're from southern Italy, which is where...
Ugh, I love it.
Mafia started.
I'm trying to go. Actually, Joe's not juicy enough for me anymore.
You need a real...
I need, like, a fucking fat...
Panzerotti.
Yeah. Soprano shoveling manicotti into his gullet.
But I'm proud of Tree. I think it's the right move. I think she has, like, a couple million probably now on her own. Like,
she also has never looked better.
She looks so good. She has, like, a hot young boyfriend. I don't even know if he's hot, but he's just young.
Yeah, I'm here for everything Tree's
she's
doing.
She's getting that young D. She's like showing up to the lick of an envelope, to the opening of an envelope. Like, she's making that appearance money, shoveling her products. You know, her kids are all... My mom is...
She's a big...
She gave me some tea.
She's a tree head.
She said that apparently Gabriella is really smart.
Really?
And like super intelligent. And like
we always knew.
Is like going to probably like an Ivy League school.
That's chic. Well, that and shit doesn't pay for itself.
Gia wants to be a lawyer.
I would let Gia represent me in a court of law.
Melania is just Melania. And then Adriana is like an amazing dancer. Like, she's like in that dance mom's world of like apparent, like those kind of recitals.
Oh my God.
Competitions.
What can't these girls do?
But she, to her credit, during this whole thing, she really kept it together for them. You know, I don't agree with, she's probably voted for Trump. So like.
Yeah, I don't love that.
Don't love that, but you know what?
But I'm not going to like completely cancel her for it. A lot of people voted for Trump.
Yeah.
He won the presidency.
He won the presidency.
So, like, a lot of people voted.
A lot of people voted, you know.
It doesn't make 100% of them horrible people.
No, not at all. But like, I do, I think Tree is on her own journey, and I think she's well rid of Joe.
Yeah, I think it's for the best.
I think he's a dirtbag.
I'm sorry to see... I'm sorry that this is how their relationship had to go, but also Tree is evolving, and
I think
her vibrations, as she raises her vibrations, she's shaking off what no longer serves her. And honestly, Skeleton Joe,
have fun and
goodbye. Enjoy your Italian horn necklace. Hope it saves you from more catastrophe. Spirits. Also, just like try and stay out of trouble.
Try and stay out of trouble over there, Joe. Do your thing. And Teresa, wish you well. Love and light.
Love and light to you, truly.
It's sad to see any couple divorce or split up, because it wouldn't, especially when they have kids. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I think it's, they know what's best for their kids. And I'm rooting for Tree.
I root for Tree.
Tree.
And I root for the girls.
I'm rooting for Melania.
And I actually root for Joe. I hope that he gets into actually like making food or something.
Yeah. He's going to make some olive oil over there.
Some olive oil, some red sauce.
Italian horns.
Doesn't he have his like whole red sauce mm-hmm. thing?
Italian horns.
He should make food and export it to the United States.
Also, just...
Can he even do that? What are his rules?
I don't know.
No touch of the U.S.
I would like to, again, apologize to... I have to just address this.
Yeah.
There seems to be quite a number of people on Patreon, and
people are coming for
they're
you.
They're coming for me. I'm not a true Jerseyan, and I
people the true Jersey
continues, and I'm sorry. I will accept full ownership that I don't know as much of Jersey as I thought I did, and my map last week was very vulnerable, and
I mistook
Hackensack with Hackettstown, and among other things,
a critical mistake that shows that Carrie O'Donnell ain't from fucking Jersey.
He's from Philly.
He's a Philadelphian,
but
through and through.
To all those North Jersey heads out there, and who I've disappointed, I'm really sorry. And for this holiday season, I ask you to forgive me.
As an Oklahoman, forgive you.
Thank you.
And truthfully, you've taught me more about Jersey than anyone else I know.
Hackensack and Hackettstown are different things. Get it right. Hackensack is northeast. Hackettstown is northwest. I mixed them up. I'm very sorry.
That map, it was bullshit.
That map was shit. You know it. I know it. The Italian horns, you know what they are.
I am excited for us to go to Jersey,
mm-hmm.
and I hope that...
Go to Preakness,
and I'm going to fucking get my freak on in Preakness.
Me too.
I'm fully going to freakness in Preakness.
I'm going to like...
all over that township.
I'm going to be the talk of the town.
You are.
I'm going to be...
People are going to come and spit at you.
I'm going to be...
They're going to spit at your feet.
I'm gonna be the Belle of Wayne.
You are the Belle of Wayne, and I'm the Queen of Preakness.
You're the Queen of Preakness, and yeah. Together we'll rule.
Together we'll rule Jersey. We're going to come...
I'm kidding. We're kidding.
No, I'm not. You're not. We're going to join hands and declare Jersey a monarch state, and then we're going to stamp our scepters on
Hackensack
the ground.
Hackensack is northeast. Is it? It's northeast. It's not northwest.
You go Hackensack and Hackenpots are both...
Hackettstown and Hackensack, they're two different things entirely. They're like two different countries.
And Hackensboro are both one. And I don't give a shit what their name is. It's just the Hackentowns.
The Hackenpots. anyway,
Tony
I had to address.
Tony's the Prince of Jersey. Preakness Queen.
Tony's the Count.
We're going to give different people their own land, mm-hmm. like how they did back in the day, and then turn just Jersey into a full feudal state.
I'm the Duchess of Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
You're the Queen Regent of
Preakness.
And Tony's the King.
I reign in Preakness. I'm actually going to violently take over the Legacy Castle.
Oh my god.
I'm going over to the militarize my fan base to take over the Legacy
Castle. We're taking back the Legacy Castle.
Where I will implement my rule of Jersey
through
the castle.
If like the world, if the apocalypse came, like someone would take that.
I would storm the castle.
And like use it as a post-apocalyptic fortress. It's for sure.
Saddens
it's set
me.
Up to be a post-apocalyptic fortune.
Yeah.
Fortress.
It saddens me that like I'm not closer by and that I don't have like a storage unit full of rifles to storm the Legacy Castle and the drop of a hat. It really is sad.
An in-state coup.
I know. I'm ready to do a full in-state coup on Jersey.
Well, when we come to our show in New York... Okay, also everyone... LA readers,
LA readers, Chicago readers,
New York readers,
tickets are on sale.
They're going fast. Get
on
them.
New York is almost sold out, so you better get your fucking tickets ASAP.
LA, and
you know what? It makes actually a great Christmas present for a friend.
What?
If you buy them a ticket to go see Sexy Unique Podcast.
Oh my
live
god, that's such a good idea.
It's something to look forward to. The tickets are very affordable.
You're
not going to break the bank
among your community.
You know what?
Why not?
Experiences will give you more than material possessions ever could. And so why don't you join forces with your friends or join forces for a group of your friends and say, hey, I just surprised you with 5 tickets to go see Sexy Unique Podcast Live.
Material things come and go, but
they do.
The memories you share at Sexy Unique Podcast Live in either LA, Chicago, or New York are
truly forever.
Forever. Come see us. But when we do go to New York, I truly am considering getting us over to see. I just want to have dinner at the palace.
Yeah.
At the castle.
We've got to get to the castle.
Can you just eat there?
I don't know.
I think you can. Or is it just strictly for banquet, like weddings? I want
to
go
look into this.
I want to like, I want there to be like a little bar lounge where they serve like meatballs.
I know. I feel my soul is telling me that it's just a banquet hall, but like, I would really love to go to like a true red sauce, delicious Italian
eatery
in Jersey.
And I'll accept that I don't know much about Jersey, but I'll come in and
say, this is my friend Carrie. He's made some faux pas in the past. But you know what? Forgive him. He knows not what he does.
Just give him some red sauce.
Give him some red sauce. He'll be fine.
He'll be happy as a kitten.
He'll keep his Philly mouth shut. He'll keep that Philly trap shut.
Keep that Philly garbage chute shut.
He don't know nothing about Jersey.
He don't know nothing about Hackensack.
He know nothing about Hackensack or Hackenstown.
Nah, Hackenstown.
Yeah, I want to go to like, I need to recommendations of like what the best, most like Sopranos-esque bar restaurant, but also it needs to be delicious. I don't want like bullshit food.
No.
I want delicious and I want fat, maybe mobsters.
Yeah.
And their wives.
I want to go, North Jersey Italian eateries, Italian bar/lounges, a North Jersey gay club.
Ooh,
would be really fun.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I've never really been to like a Jersey gay bar.
God, I'll bet all the guys are so hot
yeah.
in the Jersey gay bars.
I want to experience that. And I want to, yeah, any recommendations for when we come to New York for a show?
This is such a healing moment for me personally, and I'll tell you why. Because in last year, in April/early May, I went to New York with all these pipe dreams of like hitting Jersey big time. And then I never did hit Jersey.
You just gazed across it from across the river.
Yeah, I was just like, you know, I was going to go on like a Sopranos tour and then I didn't. And now I get to come back triumphant with a true Jerseyan. And like, it's even better because now I know so much more about Jersey than I did a year ago. And
we're going to wear Italian horns.
We're going to wear Italian horns. Carrie will wear his around his neck like a choker. Mm-hmm. We'll both do it just tight on the neck.
Like the Craft.
Yeah, like the Craft style.
Yeah. What if we just fully show up like dressed like the Craft?
I'm ready to put a spell on Jersey.
Me too.
I'm doing just now, should I just do targeted Facebook ads at people from New Jersey?
Yeah.
To get like a huge Jersey fan base.
We need it.
Yeah, we really do need it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Unlike any others on the market, go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. Underwear drawers are like the wild west of wardrobes. There's no rhyme or reason to them. Anything goes. When you open that drawer every morning, you have no idea what to expect. But now that I've felt the buttery, soft comfort of MeUndies, my other pairs have got to go. Because MeUndies are all I reach for. I received the feel-free lace high-waisted brief from MeUndies. And I have to say, I love to sleep in a high-waisted brief. And I also like to wear briefs under dresses. And let me tell you a thing or two about these briefs. They were super comfortable. I love the fabric, and I feel like they will be the perfect accompaniment to a pair of pajamas or an extra large t-shirt. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear. MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. Not happy with your first pair of undies? It's on MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/sexy. That's MeUndies.com/sexy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Speaking of Jersey.
Speaking of the Jersey girls and the Jersey boys. There was a lot of like partying and celebration on this week's episode.
This was an episode of Woo. Dina has been like raptured from the credits.
Yeah, she's gone.
Been erased.
She's forever gone, but always in our hearts.
The song in the beginning was like some guy being like, "They call me Bridge and Tunnel. Just do it to my face." And then you hear someone go,
"Bitch. Bitch." It was amazing.
Was that Jacqueline? Like, who
I
the
don't
fuck
know.
Was that?
It was a rap song though. Full blown.
Yeah.
They call me Bridge and Tunnel.
Say it to my face.
Bitch.
Bitch. So they, Caroline, Teresa, and Jacqueline, this was definitely like taped later and they like squeeze it in here, but they yeah. go and like they acknowledge.
They try and like Caroline's ad lib
like,
a scene.
Yeah, it's like really bad acting. Caroline's like.
Teresa's just like sitting there in a sparkly beret, like dead eyes staring ahead.
She's like.
What?
And it's like raining out and they're like, and Caroline goes, "There's a missing seat here, unfortunately. So, you know, it's sad that she couldn't share this with us. My sister, Dina."
Share what? Like a dark lunch?
A dreary lunch.
A lunch in like a mahogany room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, "There's a missing chair here and it's sad." And Teresa's like, "It's so sad."
Also, why was the chair missing?
I don't know.
It was weird.
They had a waiter come remove it.
There's a missing chair here now.
It was such a bizarre little like.
And then they just they're like talk about Danielle more. Caroline, all she does is talk about how she doesn't want to talk about Danielle anymore.
"I don't want to speak of her. She's despicable."
No, like literally no one could speak of her. And then Caroline's like, "I don't want to talk about Danielle."
And they're talking about Dina like she's passed away.
They are.
She's. It's like she literally stepped into like a warm
They're coming
Stargate.
From a place of rip with
they
Dina.
They are. R.I.P. Dina.
And then Caroline goes, "I think Danielle is capable of anything."
Yeah.
Capable of what? I keep coming back to like, what are you all so worried about?
She came into our place of work and she, you know, a poor baby. She made it all about herself.
With an entourage.
With an entourage. It's just, there's a poor child there and the night should have been about the baby, but it was about Danielle.
And meanwhile, Jacqueline's just kind of sitting like wide-eyed.
Yeah, because, well, as you might hear...
You might hear later on in the bonus episode
there's some
maybe
juicy,
she's not as innocent as she
yeah,
seems.
Yeah, there's some juicy Loretta goss.
Yeah.
So we cut to Wayne Surgical Center, which is in a, again, another...
It's a strip mall of its own.
Yeah.
It is just a surgical strip mall.
It looks like a dialysis center.
I'm not I'm gonna say Wayne Surgical Center is a no.
Well, later period. You see that some of the lights and the sign are not working. Yeah. It's like
yeah, it was not looking luxe enough for me to trust with like fixing a botched tit.
Yeah. It's like a wash in cold New Jersey sunlight and Danielle is getting her wonky breasts.
Her square tit is getting
unsquared.
She goes, "I've had 3 augmentations and 1 staph infection." And then she reveals that her tit is constantly hard and cold. It will never adjust to the rest of her body.
She's like, it's constant. She goes, "I've got to say, it's constantly cold, different from the rest of my body." And the doctor's like, "Well, that sounds really bad. How long have you been living with this pain?" She's like, 15 years. And
so
she's 15 like,
years, she just had 1 freezing cold tit.
And they're like, "How often are you in pain?" She's like, "Every moment of every day." I was like, Jesus Christ. Her life is a screaming hell.
Her private hell made public.
So she goes and she gets her
He goes, "That sounds hard." He goes, "Oh, well," he's like, "it'll be difficult to fix, but we'll see if we can do it." And then Danielle goes, "Nothing about life is easy."
She's with her friend Sue.
I love coming to that realization. Yeah. Like when you're like really confronting the facts of life. Nothing makes you look life square in the face like fixing your square cold.
Yeah. Your square freezing cold titty.
Ice cold tit.
So
also the tits, though they are blurred, look kind of great to me.
Yeah.
Like I don't see a big problem.
She's but they do.
Then everyone else sees like a huge problem.
Apparently they're like, as we hear later, they're the worst tits that this guy has seen in 15 years of practice.
That the head surgeons at the Wayne Surgical Center have ever seen.
He's like,
if the surgeon at Wayne Surgical Center horrified, is saying that your tits are the scariest,
something's
you must have
off.
Some scary fucking tits.
So the doctor takes photos of her with his like assistant with him, and she, Danielle, like, flips her hair and like
Danielle has a fresh blowout.
Yeah,
she knows exactly what she's doing.
She's like she's smizing with her eye, like she is looking them up and down.
She lets the towel drape over her arm.
She's like modeling
ever so sexily and kind of thrusts her whole torso forward and is like pushing her boobs together, giving this like innocent doctor a sultry
he's like stare. Shaking
he's terrified. Terrified,
he's like being sucked into her like tractor beam.
He seems scared of her.
She smiles,
she
grins a little at the end. She gives this like sexual grin, like she's like looks at the female physician's assistant and like kind of is like,
she has dirt on this doctor.
Yeah,
like I feel like she's getting this entire surgery for,
sure.
for free.
Oh, 100%.
Also, like, how can you not, you can't afford to like take a nail out of a doorway of your house, but you can afford to get like a full boob job?
Where is this coming from?
Yeah. Something. I've got to be quite honest with you.
Jacqueline, I've got to be quite honest with you. Something isn't right here.
It's not adding up.
I've got to be quite honest with you, Jacqueline. So then we cut to Lauren at Mud. Makeup school in New York. It's a beautician school. She has some, like, what in early Lady Gaga hell is going on with her? She has, like, a crack down the middle of her face.
Oh, yeah. Her weird. She goes, it's avant-garde day.
And I love the avant-garde.
At Mud school.
And she's doing, like, a makeup job, but it's literally just
she's painting lines.
She's painting pink and yellow lines on her friend's eyelids.
It's all really uninspired.
Yeah.
And this is an episode where you get to see how like devastatingly mediocre all of Caroline's kids are.
I wrote Lauren is beautiful.
She's a beautiful spirit.
I think she has a pretty face.
Yeah,
she's like, and they all like shit on her so much and like they make her feel like the ugly duckling, and I think Lauren's actually prettier than her brothers.
She's a sweetheart. I mean, I don't
maybe
see her as like a creative powerhouse, but I do think that she could like, she could own and operate a salon.
Yeah. And like, if you need, she would do like a fine job on your makeup.
I wouldn't trust
her. I'm being too nice.
That's gracious of you to say.
But I need to be.
But I would trust her.
Are you
going to
take me to Cedars?
No, not yet. No, that was edging close. We got a little too close for comfort.
I wish you saw Lara's face just now when I said that. Her face dropped into stony like suspicion,
mm-hmm.
and was silent for a minute, and then went, "No, I wouldn't."
I wouldn't trust her. I trust her with the books and the business part of running a salon
and knowing how to get good.
I trust her how to funnel money right through that salon.
You trust her out of clean money.
I trust her out of clean, at least, you know, a few mil a year through that salon.
Yeah.
But okay. not take those brushes out of her.
But maybe she could find people who are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think she has a lot of skill. I think it's like she's not going to realize it in this area of her life.
Caroline shows up like, it's like their end of the, they're graduating beauty school, and it's like their fun week or something where they get to like apply all their stuff. And Caroline like shows up, which I thought was bizarre.
She shows up and starts like immediately crying.
She walks in and she sees Lauren's crack, and she goes, "What is that face?" She's like so shaken.
Caroline has
never been so scandalized at
avant-garde.
Lauren's.
Caroline doesn't do avant-garde,
which is literally like she does like a viney crack down the middle of her face, and it's like she's two-faced or something. And
yeah,
Caroline goes, "What is that face?
What is that?
Oh my god!"
Then like, she realizes, like, Caroline interprets that as being like supremely creative, and then she like watches as Lauren like just like paints yellow stripes and pink stripes onto her friend's face, pulls some stranger into the conversation.
She's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna put some." I'm like, "Oh, you make her look like Pink Lemonade." She's like, "I was gonna put some pink there," and then they show us, and it's literally just, it's not blended. It's not like there's no like hue or like any fading. It's just a block of yellow and a block of pink.
And then there's a shot from the side where I think it was supposed to be like a contour type of blush maybe, but it's just a line.
Yeah,
it was really bad. And then meanwhile Caroline's like
weeping.
I think she's really discovering her talents, just coming into her own.
She's crying. She's like, "Mom, why are you crying?" And then she turns to her like teacher or something, and she's like, it's so good to see her come into herself. I mean, she's like, by all means. Yeah. She just thinks her kids are fucking hung the moon, which is great. That's what, you know, parents need to.
Yeah. But like, no one's being like realistic. I'm not saying that should be like tearing her kids down to size, but let's call a spade a spade.
What is that face? She's never seen something more weird in her life, Caroline. No.
This is the weirdest it's ever gotten for her.
Caroline's like, "Whoa. Like, this is pushing boundaries."
Yeah.
But God bless Lauren. She's doing something for herself. She's
trying hard.
She commuted to the city every day.
And I think she is working hard in her school. I believe that she's giving it her all and she cares a lot.
She
about
really does.
It.
I think she loves what she's doing, and that's all that matters.
What does she do now?
I don't know. Anyone know?
What do any of those kids do now?
I was on Albie's. She has a daughter.
Oh, okay.
With Vito.
Oh, they ended up together. Okay.
I think it's Manzo grandbaby.
Wow.
She's a cutie. Albie's always posting pictures of her.
Oh.
Ashley arrives at the Loretta Manor.
Yeah. And she meets with Jacqueline and Chris to discuss the events of poker night.
Jacqueline's like, I haven't spoken to Ashley since the poker night. She says, I haven't spoken to Ashley.
Love.
Ashley arrives in her floppiest beanie and sweatpants tucked into tall Uggs,
a cardigan over like a chartreuse t-shirt. Mm-hmm. She, I feel like, is a mashup of like a Jessica Simpson meets the Olsen twins street style.
Oh my god, the Olsen twins video today to Ashley Benson.
That changed me forever.
I don't even want to go on Ashley Benson's Instagram. I think maybe Kara or someone got them
to like do a special cameo for her birthday.
It's everything.
It's transcendent. Yeah. Mary Kate going super magical.
Super magical. Lots of love. And we're so excited to meet you.
Bye.
Bye. Amazing. And she holds her coffee up. They're just amazing.
They're amazing.
They're so good. I love both of them.
I love them so much.
They're like deities.
Yeah.
They're cultural deities. They're like not, they're just like.
They're existing.
It was a perfect video.
It was perfect in every way.
Do you think they know what they're doing?
I don't know.
I think they do.
I think they kind of do, but then they also really don't.
But isn't it crazy that they still cause like a cultural like little like ripple
but
whenever they
I
do.
Think because they're
twins.
They're twins, but they've also done such a good job of being insanely private. So like we don't know anything about them other than just like
they wear black and
they wear like layers upon layers of like baggy clothes and design outrageously expensive ready to wear and then smoke a ton of cigarettes.
And have like $1 billion.
Yeah. And like live, I guess, maybe eccentric lives, but we just really don't know.
That's true.
And I think that that's what makes them so fascinating is because, like, they control how much gets shared.
They're the perfect celebrities.
They're perfect.
I love them.
My queens.
Anyways,
Ashley apologizes to Jacqueline and Chris, and she says she wants to move back in.
And they're like, okay, because they want that too, but they just have been too stubborn to say it. But they're like, can you agree to have a curfew on weeknights? And she starts crying.
Yeah.
She wipes
well, first,
her...
Jacqueline starts crying mm-hmm. in this, because they have two meetings. So this yeah. meeting is just like for Ashley to say, I guess she's sorry. But then Jacqueline just cries the whole time, mm-hmm. like before anyone even can utter a word. Chris is also as red as a tomato.
Yeah, he's
inexplicably red. And then later on, they meet again to discuss like the terms of Ashley moving back in. And it's like, you'll have to come home at midnight on weeknights.
And she goes, she starts crying and she wipes her little tear away. And she also says, what did she say? She goes, I could see a drunk driver from 40 miles away. And I was like, yeah, look at yourself.
Yeah, look in the rearview mirror at your own reflection. I was like, the only reason you want to stay out is so you can like drive around drunk.
Yeah. She's like, no one is even on the highways at that time. I'm like, what are you talking?
She's like, I am on there and I can swerve all around. Like, I'm not going to hit anyone.
Why? What is she? You sounded just like her.
She's just like very whiny and petulant. And I'm also like, as a young woman who similarly fought her parents at this exact age about curfews and like cried and did like a whole fight of my own.
Yeah.
It was really just like, I want to be able to go out and get fucking wasted and like, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's all about.
But she's her argument
at this stage. I cannot imagine staying out somewhere till 1 a.m.
No.
On a weekday.
No, thank you.
Absolutely not.
But she's also like, she can't just admit that she wants to just get fucked up. So she's like, her reasons are like, she just likes to be driving at like 1 a.m.
Like, nothing like, cool. I love more than taking to the road
on a New Jersey freeway at 2 a.m.
Yeah,
on a Tuesday.
Just drive. I like to just drive back and forth from like various destinations.
Maybe she does.
At night. She's always driving. She's going to that haunted road in New Jersey.
Clinton Road.
Yeah.
Maybe she just can't get enough of like thrill rides.
Yeah. She's joyriding alone.
She can't get enough of driving down spooky roads at night.
She's like, oh my God. Did you see that?
She's alone.
She's fully alone.
She just, Ashley, her big secret that she's not partying. She's not like doing
she's
drugs.
She's not even with her boyfriend.
She's literally just driving down supposedly haunted roads and just going, oh my God.
And then like getting freaked out and like freaking herself out and then getting so scared, and then she just like goes back to her boyfriend's house and she's like, I'm scared.
Yeah, that's what she does. That's her secret truth, is that she just loves to be like a night driver.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God,
she's just like creeping around in her Range Rover.
Yeah.
They finally and then their big compromise is like, okay, you can come home at 1 a.m. on weekdays and 2 a.m. on the weekends.
And she's like, thanks, love you.
But also, how terrifying it would be to be a parent pre-Uber. I mean, still shit can go down with Uber and Lyft. Like, you can get kidnapped.
Me and you,
but like,
yeah.
But at least you know that there are a lot of other options that are, like, viable.
It's terrifying. Especially when your kid is like, sorry.
No, I mean, especially when your kid is like clearly loves to get fucked up.
Yes.
You're like, please, I literally just don't want you to die, because you actually know about like how fragile life can be. And then you have like a surly teenager in a beret and like a crocheted sweater giving you attitude because you can't stay out past midnight. In like buttfuck New Jersey, like there is truly nothing to do that's worthwhile.
She's like, I just want to. She's like, I just don't want you to die. And Ashley's like, oh my God,
I'm literally,
I know like 16-year-olds. She goes, I know 16-year-olds who have later curfews than that. I'm like,
what 16-year-old?
What the fuck are you talking about? That's not true.
Also, if true,
that's
fucked up. Their parents are negligent. I'm calling the police.
I'm calling DIFAS.
I'm going CPS.
But yeah, Ashley just likes to spook herself.
Yeah, she's a spooky ass bitch.
So she runs. She goes upstairs to her room and she goes, yes. She fooled them and she's like, yay.
She runs.
Ghost Road.
She gets so scared that then she like goes, parks the car and runs upstairs and dives into bed where it's cozy and warm. And then a dog is like, woof. And then she's like, yes.
She runs upstairs at night really fast.
Yeah.
That's so what
no
I do
one
whenever
can
I'm
get
home.
Her.
So Elvira,
I fully
Queen Elvira.
Hate Elvira I know. So fucking much.
She wears lavender. She was wearing lavender tights with runs in them.
Were they like, tights or jeans? I think they were jeggings.
No, she was. I swear to God, she was wearing like.
I think they were tights.
Stockings.
I think they were stockings meant to look like jeans. But
yeah, but she had runs in them, and you could see her like girder.
What's a girder?
Or a, what is that called?
Her, she had like VPL. Visible
no, you're
painting.
Like when you at your wedding.
A garter?
A garter, sorry.
She was wearing a garter?
It looked like it.
Elvira's fucking crazy.
Sorry, I meant garter, not girder. But she's, you can, I swear to God, she had runs in her stockings and you could, on her lavender, bizarre lavender stockings. And she was wearing a lavender leather coat.
It was too much for me. Elvira was actually the most offensive thing I've seen so far on this season of Jersey.
So Teresa's having a housewarming party because her house is finally finished. And
finished with no furniture in
it. No furniture.
Just how she and Joe like it.
Just how they like
it. It's a marble cave.
Because it makes it harder.
Honestly, they have the biggest mirror I've ever seen.
I think they don't have furniture so they can hear footsteps at night more easily.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
They love just like vast spaces.
They do.
They were like pioneers in the sense that I feel like Kim and Kanye's new house is very much like a modernized version of Teresa and Joe's house.
Yeah.
Did you see their huge mirror though?
Yeah. It's insane.
Have you ever seen anything like that in your life?
I felt miniaturized even looking at it.
Where do you get that mirror's bigger than like my apartment?
Like Oz.
That mirror's from another dimension.
It is.
It's from another planet.
It was like
medieval. It's not even just like I want a wall that is a mirror. Like I want a mirrored wall. It's like I want, imagine this mirror, but 4,000 times bigger.
Yeah.
I want that.
It was like
leaned up against the wall.
It was like the reflecting pool.
That mirror is haunted.
It is. What has that mirror seen?
What hasn't it seen?
So Teresa's enlisted this woman, Elvira, who's a renowned Jersey party planner. She has a website. I looked it up.
What is it?
She has, it's...
We don't have to look at it.
Yeah.
I trust that it's there.
But look up, just Google Elvira party planner in New Jersey.
Yeah, you'll find.
So she comes in and she's like dragging Teresa to hell for her house.
Why is Elvira so obsessed with Teresa getting
help?
Help.
She wants Teresa to have
a live-in maid,
like staff.
Yeah.
She keeps going, well, that's why you need help. And Teresa's like, I do all the cleaning here.
Teresa's a literal housewife. She's like, I'm an old school Italian. Like, I'm sure Joe is like, won't allow any sort of cleaning person to be around.
No.
Absolutely not. You never know what they could snoop in.
Yes.
And what stash of his they might find.
Teresa's face when she suggests that she's like, what?
No, and Teresa wouldn't hear of it.
No.
And I wonder if she has a cleaning lady now. I feel like, I like to think that Teresa's like more modernized.
Yeah.
Like she
was like in 1962 here.
Yeah.
And she's
like, Teresa manages to look as good as she does and then like scrub marble floors.
And take care of four little girls.
That's insane. That's
an crazy.
Insane amount of work.
I think her mom helps her, but like she does all that on her own.
And she makes dinner.
And she makes money.
And she makes money. And she makes like those, she cans all those like tomatoes.
She makes like dinner for like a military base every night.
Everyone's like, why is Teresa always late? She literally has to run an entire mansion. She's cleaning.
On her hands and knees.
On her hands and knees.
Marble floors.
Get ready, then take care of all those kids. And cooked dinner for her family.
She's scrubbing like Carrera marble. That's what she's doing. That's why she can't make your like shitty lunch,
That's
Caroline.
Why she's like 15 minutes late to everything.
So Elvira, and when she says you should get help, Teresa goes, go scratch. She tells it in her confessional. She goes, I was like, go scratch.
Does that mean fuck off?
Yeah, like go fuck off. Go scratch it.
Go scratch. Elvira goes, I wrote even before Teresa said Elvira's a bitch, I just wrote, Elvira's a bitch.
They go outside and she goes, oh, you don't even have a pool? And Teresa goes, no, I have a beach house.
I don't need a pool. I have a beach house.
And she goes, thank you. She goes, I have a beach house. Thank you.
And Teresa's immediately over Elvira.
Oh, Teresa has her number. And then Elvira goes, no doormat? She goes, I'm going to be tracking in wet. My shoes are just wet. It's going to get all over your floor. And Teresa's like, it's fine. I'll clean it.
Yeah.
She's like, this is why you need help. It's like, what are you doing?
Like,
Elvira's obsessed with the help.
Oh, she is obsessed.
And she keeps talking about trusses and strobe lights.
She's obsessed with turning this house into like a nightclub.
The theme is going to be like a nightclub vibe. And she's like, there's going to be LED lights, strobe lights, DJ booths. And Teresa's is like trying to track. And she's like, we're going to have to move all this out of here.
Thankfully, she only has like two couches. Yeah. Albie and Caroline meet. Oof. I'm like, this like emotional Albie storyline, I was like, hard pass. But like, basically he's failing out of college. And then Caroline...
It's sad. Like he has.
It's sad, but I also don't believe him.
He has like a.
I believe that maybe he has like a hard time keeping up with his studies, and like maybe he has been diagnosed with a learning disability.
He's not being asked to come back to Fordham because he has a learning disability, and he has like a D plus, and one of his grades are just really bad. And then Caroline gets super emotional, and she goes. She's like calm and calm, and he's talking about the guy who told him he shouldn't be a lawyer. Caroline goes, "That guy's an asshole."
She goes, "I just
yeah."
She like turns hides her face, then comes back all fired up.
To like, me, to lay down and die is unacceptable. So she's telling him to fight for his spot. It was very like Death of a Salesman. So then Albie comes in, and she's like, Albert Sr. comes in. He's like, did Albie tell you? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, and I was saying, if you're going to take it like that, then you shouldn't even be a lawyer.
I loved that.
Yeah.
But then he like backtracks and he's like, it's not poor me. It's poor them, because they're going to be in the doghouse when Albie is like a successful attorney. Like, yeah, and I was like,
that's a threat,
honey.
And then Caroline goes, we're warriors and Albie is a survivor. I was like, they're two different things. But also, I wasn't even paying attention really to this comment, because I was looking at their stacks of red Solo cups in the
background.
Yeah,
I was like, what party is happening?
I know, and they're like almost, it's like the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yeah, it was a really distracting stack. I saw it as well and was curious. Anyways.
Over to Posh.
Posh is a literal coffin.
Teresa and Jacqueline arrive at Posh. Teresa's wearing like a Mad Hatter leopard hat.
she comes in pulling a look.
And Kim D is in.
Kim D is like a skeleton. It's like ushering. She's doing like the bones dance. Like,
yeah.
From she's Disney, just sitting like, at her ushering little. Ushering them into like Posh, this literal coffin Hot Topic store.
She's sitting at her little cashier desk, and she goes, hi, when they walk in. She's just like sitting there, her shoulders are like below, like it's just like it's such a low desk.
And then she's like that sad sales associate with her, that just that blonde girl that like I just felt bad for. She's in the midst of everything.
Kim D offers them all alcohol.
Everyone gets down with a mimosa, and then they're talking about Kim D's boyfriend, and it flashes to him going, she's a pig, about Danielle. And Teresa goes, he was so cute.
I know. And then they're like, Teresa's kind of like calling Kim D out on her wishy-washy. And she's like, aren't you friends with Danielle? But like, you're calling. I thought you said she was a pig. And Danielle's like, well, I mean, and she's like back talking. She's like, well, yeah, you know, yeah, if you're a pig, you got to own up to it. But, you know, she's a customer. She's a customer. So that's plain and simple. I don't know anything about her. Then they cut to her at the luncheon for Christine's modeling photo. And Danielle, Kim D's just...
she's like airing Teresa out.
Yeah, she's like fucking throwing all those women under the bus. So it's just showing how fucking two-faced she is.
But yeah, when you're a pig, you're own up to it.
I love Kim D.
Yeah.
She's truly the kind of like villain that is just always throwing other people under the bus.
Yeah. But it's like true. I love that's her.
And it's like, that's how she is. I believe that she's been like interrogated by mobsters before. And like, yes, that's how she does it.
She's so good at like flip flopping.
She's great at it.
And Kim D goes.
And then like, she'll probably give you like a discount. Like, yeah, she has her like some physical goods to give you in exchange for like you, yeah, not beating the shit out of her.
She's like, she's a customer. I don't know her anything other than that.
And they're like, Teresa and Jacqueline don't buy it. And then she picks out Chinchilla for Teresa. Mm-hmm. Teresa's like, she's no friend of PETA.
No, but I think that was a fake chinchilla.
Yeah.
I don't think that Bosch is importing real furs into that coffin space. Yeah. Then Kim D, they make a joke about like cleanliness, but Kim D calls it cleansiness.
Yeah. Ugh. And then she says friendliness, like as if friendliness isn't a word.
Because isn't the saying like cleanliness is next to godliness?
Yeah.
But and they were like, cleanliness is next to friendliness.
Yeah, you know, she goes, friendliness, you know, like cleanliness. And I was like, wait, no, friendliness is a word, Kim.
Yeah.
It felt like she was just making, like, I don't think somebody.
She made up a word.
I don't think Kim D knows how to read.
No, she's fully illiterate.
It's wild.
She's illiterate, and she's still thriving at her business.
Yeah,
there is hope for Albie yet.
There is hope. Oh
my God. Look, a 1.9 is not, it's not trying that hard.
You're right.
Make C's.
So then Danielle heads to her... Tino goes back to the Wayne Surgery...
Danielle's triumphant return.
To the Wayne Surgery Center. The Wayne Surgery Center.
The truly... Like, it's a set... Like, the letters
the lights.
Are hanging off by a string.
There's, like, a vulture.
One, like, falls off onto the ground and, like, smashes into a million pieces.
You hear a crow off screen. And so she goes in. The doctor's kind of hot.
Dr. Fiorello.
He has shaved eyebrows with like shaves with like a razor.
He's horned the fuck up.
He's so horny and hot.
They're both horned up and they're doing this like seductive, flirty dance that's like all mental masturbation on both of their parts as they interface with each other.
And
she's like, are you ready for me?
And the doctor's looking at her bare breasts and he goes, well, it's a good thing I had a good night's sleep last night. Like, they just keep, they're all insulting her tits at any chance they get.
Danielle's, like, hot for it, though.
Oh, they have something going on.
She literally is like, okay, and she disrobes again and then fully, like, thrusts her body forward. Her skin is, like, perfectly sun damaged. It's, like, sexily sun damaged. Like, that older woman kind of skin, but it's hot. Like I was
a little leathery.
I was finding myself, I was like, whoa. When he's, like, kind of making, like, her Frankenstein marks, like, across her sternum, and it showed, like, a flash of her stomach, and I was just like...
There's charge in that room.
And there's such charge.
And he's like,
I fucking the hell out of him.
And he's like, let me just get in there and mark down your... And then she goes... He goes, soon you'll be out and like, I won't have to see, you know, you won't have to come back. And she goes, you mean you're not going to see me again in 10 years? And she goes, hopefully for different reasons.
And then she like kind of tucks herself into bed. And I'm pretty sure like I would bet money on her not wearing underwear under that thing. And she just flashed the puss at him right before she like tucks in for her surge. And then she goes, as she pulls her covers up around her, like... shoulder, she goes, nature's been good to me.
Yeah, and then she goes, this is not for cosmetic. And then in the confessional, she goes, I want to be very clear about that. I'm like, who? To who? What, okay. Like, what are you trying
I was
to convince?
Like, wait, then I got confused. I was like, was your life in danger? Like, I was like, what is it for?
Well, apparently, if your tit is freezing cold.
One ice cold tit. Can you imagine hooking up with someone and then... you go to feel like their chest and it's just like bone cold. How is it not like turned black
at all hours of the day? Like this is
for 15 years.
Clearly this is not cosmetic.
Is it square? There has to be a photo of her square tit.
Yeah.
Her sex tape. What? Not
Did
that I'm
watch?
Advocating. No, I really thought about it and I kind of wanted to, but then I also have a problem with like watching people's porn that was like uploaded that they didn't like consent to uploading.
That's
which is like
it's a good reason.
The one honorable thing that I do with my life is like not engage with like fat things. Everything else, fair game.
Hey, Ma. Hey.
No, but I'm really like. I would feel like Danielle's posted probably before and afters.
Well, she also, but when she's getting,
I'll Google later before and after Danielle's tits.
When she's getting the surgery, they're just like, they're going, oh my God. They're like, he goes, this is one of the biggest deformities ever
I've ever seen.
He goes, in my 15 years.
One of the most complicated surgeries I've ever done.
He's like, in my 15 years, I've never seen breasts like this. And then and him and the doctors are all.
Terrified doctor is like, oh, and like they don't even know like how to approach it. He's like, if I go in like this, it'll fuck up the nipple and the, and what do we do? And they're just like poking and prodding and just like staring at this monstrosity that's Danielle's ice cold tit. And like then finally they haven't even made a like cut, and then they're like, all right, you ready to do this? And then like go in,
they're like we're going in, guys. All right, everyone, get yourself together and splash some water on your face. We're going in. But they're literally going, oh my God. Oh no. Oh my God. Jesus Christ. I've never seen anything like this.
We need to see for ourselves. Are they hamming it up for the camera?
Yeah, maybe they were. Oh God. Oh, this is the biggest deformity ever. And he goes, in my 15 years of practice, I've never seen a breast this like this bad. It must have been really bad, though, right?
I mean, I think one is, like, droopier than the other.
But the way they talk about it, it's like they've never seen anything like it.
They
it
was, truly are.
They're so, like, shaken by
it. Oh. Well, one tit still kind of looks square, and I think this is from recently.
Mm.
It's probably hard to fix once you've gotten square.
Damn. But just.
This photo.
I know. Her hair. Mm-hmm.
Her beautiful blowout. But like she just like seduces and eye fucks these surgeons.
Weren't they being horrible though? They were like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then the one like, ooh.
I had a surgical procedure earlier this year, and if I watched a video of the surgery where the doctors were like, I've never seen this, and we're doing that, I'd be like, damn.
I know. I guess doctors all probably talk like that.
Yeah.
Caroline and her fam go to their favorite sushi place.
That she doesn't even like.
Caroline, I hate it. I hate it here.
Why is she there? Also, the sushi was like neon color.
I know.
He's I was like, this is fake.
Albert's like, well, I took your mom here on a first or second date. And Caroline goes, I hate it. Lauren's graduating from beauty school, so they're celebrating. Albie looks jealous.
Albie is getting trolled by everyone who's basically like, you're dumb. His dad's like, please. He's like, keep your good looks. And then, like, takes a sip of, like, sake.
What the fuck was that? He goes, Christopher, whatever you're going to do, your personality is going to be the most important thing. And then he goes,
good advice.
He looks at Albie and he goes, Albie, stay handsome. They say nothing to Lauren.
Yeah, well, she's the only one that's really accomplishing anything out of this group.
I don't think Albie is even that cute.
No.
But everyone talks about him like he's this god.
He was hot. I remember when I was watching this show like 10 years ago and I was like, I'll be so
hot.
Yeah,
I guess so.
But now I'm just like, oh, he is like, he's like Meadow like, Sopranos, like gangster boyfriend, Jackie Jr.
Yeah.
Who like goes not even to Rutgers and like fails out of Rutgers.
There's just, it's not even his looks per se. It's his, what turns me off about him is his like his lack of like swag.
Yeah.
You know, or like he doesn't really have any I don't know.
He's a big dumb animal.
Anyway, so it's the night of the potty at Teresa's. Elvira is insane.
Elvira descends.
She has like an entourage of caterers who I believe are circus like acrobats.
She's a literal team of slaves that are like forever indentured servants into her like lair.
But they look like little like circus people.
Yeah.
They're like acrobats.
It's very the amount of control that she like has over them is shocking.
Teresa goes, "All the caterers are here in all black mafia style." And I was like,
you love it. You love to see it. Elvira also, I think what bothers me about her so much is she scream talks everything.
Yeah. She also tells these women that are working with her that they have to leave. She goes, I'm hearing this and I just need to go over there on the mobile.
I need to look at all this and you gotta go away.
You gotta go away.
Leave.
And Teresa goes, she's a bitch.
And then at one point, she's scream talking at another employee where she goes, I want the whole house uplit, rotating colors, rotating colors, rotating colors. And just is like,
how much screeching cocaine is she at people. On?
Tons.
She does so much.
She does.
Or like a Vyvanse.
Vyvanse is almost too refined. It doesn't jack you up as much as that.
Yeah, she's on something.
This is like uppers.
Yeah, she is out of her mind.
That haircut alone is enough to let me know that it shit ain't
the
right.
Kate Gosselin.
Kate Gosselin.
So then Teresa runs upstairs while Jack... I wrote, is Elvira going to steal the house?
Elvira, I was shocked that she got to come to the party.
I know.
She changed clothes and was like, hi! And I was like, get the fuck out of here, Elvira.
In a gold, in like a champagne dress.
Yeah.
Teresa's getting her hair done upstairs and Jacqueline calls her and is like, weirdly, like, I think Kim G should come.
She's like, Kim G called me and said, like, have fun tonight. And I feel bad. And it's like, it's not your fucking party. Like, you don't get to say if someone comes or doesn't come.
And Teresa's being, like, genuinely sweet and is like, well, if it means something to you, then you can invite her.
Yeah. But Teresa's like, in a good mood. You caught her, like, as her house is getting dressed up. She's getting her hair done. Like, I feel like normally she'd be like, fuck that bitch.
Yeah. And then she goes, this is me. See how much of a nice person I am? And she looks at the hairstylist and she goes, aren't I a nice person? And then she goes, you're a nice person. And then you hear Jacqueline go, you are? So that was a funny little troll.
I like that.
But that's Jacqueline stirring some
drama, which we might hear a little more about in the bonus episode. Danielle gets out of surgery.
She loves the drama.
She lives for an awakening of surgery.
She's like playing it up a little.
Like a walking, like just trying to be like cozy and getting like walked out of a surgical procedure.
She's probably in a lot of pain.
Yeah, it looks painful as fuck.
Yeah, she's like, ugh. And then her friend Sue, her loyal friend Sue.
Loves Sue.
She drives her home and Jilly and Christine are waiting to like, be her servants. And I wrote, this moment is the sweetest moment Danielle has had on the show.
It is sweet because there's one moment where they're all lying on Danielle's bed and they're covered in chihuahuas, and I was like, oh, this is like the closest you can be with your mom, where she's like drugged up.
And she goes, I need
tons of opioids and covered in like, you're just like all holding a chihuahua. And she goes, sweet.
I'm going to need to count. She goes, I have to count on you guys for a lot right now. And they're like, we got it, mom. And then she goes, do you love me, Jilly? And Jilly goes, I love you. And she goes, Christine. And they go, I love you. And she goes, okay. And it was like, I think Danielle is truly like twisted and like very sinister. But I felt like this moment was actually like the sweetest she'll ever be on this show.
Because, it was a real mom moment.
Because she was like...
was vulnerable.
Yeah, and like she just... all she cared about in that moment was just having her daughters with her.
And them saying that they loved her.
Yeah, and it kind of made me feel like tender towards her.
I hope to one day recover from a breast augmentation.
With chihuahuas and like...
surrounded by chihuahuas and my two beautiful daughters.
Who are like going to get her tea. She goes... you know what you could do for me, though? Get me a cup of tea. And Christine goes, you do it, Jilly.
Yeah. Christine's kind of over this whole thing.
Totally.
She gets the purse from Sue. She's like locks up the door.
Am I a total like...
are you being like sappy? I don't think so. I think this was nice.
No, but am I like a total like... am I brain dead that I was like moved by this little
moment?
It
was a touching moment. It looked genuinely like cozy.
It did.
There was one chihuahua in particular that's like the tiniest one that they have that I was really into.
Yeah. Well, I wish Danielle a good recovery.
I hope her breasts heal so she can finally take those dogs to the vet.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that she's... but it was in this one little moment, I gave Danielle a little pass.
Yeah. Oh, I give her a full pass. Danielle goes, my new breast symbolized for me everything new.
She's still coming off those drugs.
Yeah.
I wrote, Elvira changed in all exclamation
points. She changed into like a 60s-esque
Twiggy. She's ready to go.
She's swinging 60s. Also, what is the theme of this party? They're like, she's like Studio 54, nightclub. She's like literally just on a ton of blow.
She reminded me of Allison Janney in the Ice Storm with like the key party.
Yeah, she's she is lit up.
Yeah.
This party has no rhyme or reason.
Caroline comes over to Teresa and she goes, Playboy bunny's on your red carpet. I mean, what's happening? What's happening here, Teresa? And then
Kim D and Kim G arrive and they're like fucking like making out at the bar. They're like
we drank a whole
sipping out of the same like glass sexily while like a bunch of men watch.
They say that they I feel like Kim G said they drank a bottle of wine before they came, but I think she wanted to go. We did an 8-ball before we came here. And Kim D goes, "You weren't supposed to say that."
Yeah. They got fucked up before they came there.
Fucking blackout.
Yeah.
Like pills.
Hammered. I love that Kim G has put her little clippy in her hair, which is, you know, that she's fucked up when the clippy goes in the hair. Because I'll bet her hair was down and ready for a party, and then she's just like, fuck it. It's two in my face. And like put it up. And then
Kim G's just like, get clippy. Yeah.
You want more? Yeah,
the clip.
Clip your hair back.
Clippy, use clip. Your hair looks good like that. Just get over here and finish this fucking
A-ball. Finish this rail.
This is a hot, piping hot rail for you. Shut the fuck up about Clippy. We got to get to the party in 20 minutes.
You call your driver.
And Kim G's like, this fucking hair.
Just clip it.
Get out of my head. Just clip it up.
Here, let me do it.
And then she like,
I'll do it. And it's like all botched up. It's like
up 100, like Mary, something about Mary with like the gel. It's like fully up. Like,
you look fucking good. Come on. Joe is on the dance floor. I love it when he cuts loose.
Juicy Joe. And then you see Ashley like, Joe's precious.
Yeah,
Derek.
She's a crush on Joe.
She does. The party DJ starts screaming at everyone.
The party DJ is also on a ton of blow.
Yeah, they're all on so much coke. And the party DJ's eyes are bulging out of his skull. And he goes, is everybody having a good time?
Really uncomfortable.
Also, what we don't realize and what is revealed in the next season is that Joe Gorga and Melissa Gorga were there. And Teresa talked about them in her speech, but this wasn't
But they
shown.
Cut it out because they weren't officially on the show.
Yeah.
This was before they got to a place of like needing to just like throw down and brawl every time they see each other.
So Teresa does a little speech and she goes, I'm going to invite Caroline and Jacqueline up here. And she goes, Caroline, you're like our mom. And then Caroline's like,
thank you.
Thanks. And then she goes,
"Can't I?" This is what led me to believe that she also doesn't know these women all that well. She was like, "You're like our mom, and she's just the best." And this is Jacqueline, and she's so fun, and she's also just the best. And I was like, "You don't know anything about them."
No, she does. I just don't think Teresa.
She's not a good public speaker.
No. And then
not a natural storyteller.
And then Kim D. Kim D from the depths of the abyss just parts the sea of people and goes, she goes, oh, she goes, thank you for inviting me, Teresa. I love you so much. Come here. And she just bursts through and interrupts Teresa's speech. And Teresa is like visibly scared. And Kim D goes, oh, I love you so much. I'm just so happy to be here at this place. Thanks for inviting us, Trey. It's so fucking great to be here.
Literally the whole room is silent watching this
and,
shit.
Except
down.
Kim G, she's fucking yacked out of her gourd and is just like with this dopey grin on her face. Watching it. And Teresa's like, okay, thanks, Kim. And she's like, oh, it's just fucking great to be here. I
love your house. What a gorgeous house.
It's a fucking work of art. I'm just so grateful to be here. It's fucking great. And then Tree goes, Caroline goes, if that were one of my kids, I'd choke him. I would just straight up choke him. And Kim, and then you cut to her again, and she's just Prattling away.
Fucking peeking.
Prattling on.
Yeah.
Prattling on. Sorry. Not Prattling.
Literally.
Prattling away.
Someone's speech.
During someone's housewarming speech. A toast. Yeah. And you just, there's a voiceover.
Thank you for inviting. I just want to say thank you for inviting me.
She goes, oh, I love you. I love you so much. And then,
with her big bag.
Yeah, she's a big
she's
fucking
a huge bag.
That's like a dog in it or something. And Tree goes, she goes, Kim D's wasted, and I love it. She's my kind of girl.
I love that twist.
That Tree was loving it.
Tree loves like a messy drunk moment. Yeah.
I love that. Kim G, and she's sweaty, and she's like, oh, I just fucking love it.
She goes, I love you. I love everything about you.
And she's like, thanks, Kim.
Kim D's at literally one point it shows her, and she's like stumbling around.
Yeah.
Like, after the toast, she's like stumbling, like losing her footing, and then coming back up, and she's like, Ashley, I love you. I love you.
She goes,
you're the love of my life.
Yeah, and then Ashley's like, thanks. And she's like, you're 19. That woman's 49 years old. She shouldn't be coming after you the way she is.
She goes, I heard you think you said I was precious. It was like she never said that. She said that about Joe. Yeah.
I love this girl so much, but she reminds me of like, she's just great. I fucking love this girl. Do you see this girl? And then Ashley,
old fisherman.
And then Ashley starts talking shit about Danielle, and Caroline comes up again and puts her finger on her. Oh,
everyone's
chin.
Always touching Ashley's
I know.
Chin.
And she's like, let's not speak of her name. Let's not speak of her name. It's a housewarming party. I just want to get through this night without speaking of that woman's name about Danielle.
She can't handle it.
And then Kim G runs up to
Jacqueline.
No, she runs up to Teresa.
Is it Teresa first or
Caroline?
Caroline?
Oh, she goes up to Caroline and she's like,
and then she's like, tries to throw Jacqueline under the bus.
Hey, so I just have to tell you. Jacqueline comes over and she's obsessed.
Danielle Swan, she's obsessed.
She's obsessed.
Danielle.
She's obsessed with Danielle. I know. She's just always talking about her.
She's just obsessed with her.
She's obsessed with her.
Caroline's like, I'm not buying it.
I'm not buying it. She goes, Kim, she's like, you know what, Kim? She's caused a lot of upset in Jacqueline's life. I'm not buying it. And then Kim
G. You have to talk to her about that.
You're going to have to go talk to her. I don't speak on behalf of Jacqueline, but you got to go talk to her because I just can't even handle it. And then Kim G's like, she's fucking obsessed. Kim T comes out of nowhere. Jacqueline's fucking obsessed with Danielle. Everything she's saying is the fucking truth. I fucking love this woman. And Caroline, I love you. I fucking worship at your altar.
I love you. I love everything about you.
I love your fucking kids. I love your house. And I fucking love your face. And then Jacqueline comes up and she goes, were you talking about me, Kim? Did you tell my sister-in-law that I'm obsessed with Danielle? I'm not obsessed. I'm mad.
I'm not obsessed. I'm upset.
I'm upset. And then Kim G goes, Kim G's like, oh, yeah, you're upset. You're mad and you're upset, but you're mad. And then Kim G comes out of nowhere and she goes, oh, I fucking love both of you. I just want to see you both kiss. Why don't you
put your heads together. Your tongues in each other's mouth. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, that's how it goes. I just love everyone in this fucking room. And then she runs out to the main dance floor and rips her fucking top off. And she's sweating. Her body is, it's cold in the room because they turn it down because everyone's on blow. So the room is like freezing. It's like Barry Madoff's like ice, you know, igloo room that they're always talking about. And her skin is steaming because she's oh, and she gets down on the floor. Kim D goes, oh, I fucking love everyone in this fucking room. And Elvira comes out and she goes, not in the dance floor. Get out of here. Who is this woman? Get her out of here.
I'm hearing a lot of this and I need you to just go away.
No, you come here. I'm gonna fucking love you too. I love everyone in this fucking room.
Kim D and Elvira are a match made in hell.
And then they have to bring...
They're opposite sides of the same coin.
They are. And then they have to drag Kim D out into the yard, into their like cold pond that they have in the backyard.
Throw her into it.
And they just to cool her off.
Yeah.
God, Tree goes, put her outside. Put her in the creek. And then they put her out there and they just dunk her in and they just to wake her up.
Yeah.
God damn it. She's so fucked up.
Yeah. She's... supremely fucked up.
Hey, I love everybody.
I feel like I've reached levels of Kim D.
Oh, for sure.
Once or twice I've hit
true
Kim
place
D,
of Nuka.
The truest place of Nuka when you crash the toast.
Oh my god, my throat. Anyway.
Hey. Paige, thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for having me on this podcast.
Thank you for being here on this podcast with me.
Truly,
what
a journey.
A journey.
We end this year.
Yeah, this is the last sup of the year, but certainly there will be more.
In 2020.
In 2020 is truly the year where everyone gets so sexy and unique.
They don't even know how to handle it.
Yeah, they can't even deal.
So I'll see you in 2020.
I'll see you bitches in 2020. In the meantime, follow us on Insta at eCarryO, at Lars Marie, or on Twitter, eCarryO, at Lars Marie. Buy tickets to our show.
In New York, Chicago, LA.
Los Angeles.
Tickets are going.
Yeah, go to LarsMarie.com. I have links to all the shows. We're dying to see you there.
Come.
Just do it.
Just come. Love
you. Love you guys.
You've
made
you all.
It such a fun and amazing year.
Love you.
Love you. You've
love and
made
light
it a
to
fun
you.
And amazing
you've
year.
Made it. You've made 2019.
You made it bearable.
Yeah. It was
your
podcasting
light,
has
a light
been
in
a light.
The darkness.
Thank you. You are too.
And yeah.
See you next year. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Bye.
Bye.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.